First Corinthians chapter 1. You know, a lot of times each of us in life have to make choices, don't we? You know, I was watching a movie that was on TV last night. I got home and I was tired and I finished my message for this morning. And so I sat down and I was watching a movie with Kevin Costner in it. It was The Guardian. I don't know how many of you have ever seen that one or not. It was about the it was a story about the Coast Guard up in Alaska. A good friend of ours, believe it or not, he was in the Coast Guard up in Kodiak, Alaska, and that's where this was all filmed. But it went through how they had to train in order to be in the Coast Guard, and how many people wash out because they can't make the thing. And it was really, really interesting. It was a good thing. But you know, one of the things that really came to my mind is one of the statements he made, and it was this: there are times when you are rescuing someone that you have to make a choice on who you'll take. You can only take one person, and you have to make that choice of what that one person is going to be that you're going to take before a boat, you know, completely sinks or a fire gets to them or something like that. And you know, as I was watching that, I got to thinking about my message that I just got done writing, and how that there are times in our lives when we make choices, some good choices, some bad choices. But this morning I want to talk to you about God's choices. God's choices. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse number 26, out of respect for God's word, let's stand while we read this. Starting in verse 1, verse 26, it says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for all you've done for us. Thank you for your love. I just pray now that we might get something out of this that we can use in our own lives. We love you. We thank you for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever thought, though, of God having to make choices? Does God have to make choices? You know, as I was going through this, I got to thinking about that, and he chose to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, didn't he? Because of the wickedness of their queer lifestyle, he chose to destroy them. He chose to destroy Nineveh, and then he chose not to destroy Nineveh. Remember, he said that, told Jonah, he says, "I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to cry unto the city, because in 40 days I'm going to destroy them." But then he chose not to after Jonah had preached to the city. You know, God chose the children of Israel for his promised people when he could have chosen anyone. He could have chosen any people upon the face of the earth, but he chose Israel. God chose to have Jesus die for salvation instead of having it happen some other way. God chose you and I to be his children when he didn't have to. You know, In the scripture that we just read, I want to show you some very interesting things which God chose to do to the unsaved and to the saved in the scripture that we just read. Keep your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But God chose the foolish things for the unsaved. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. In 1 Corinthians 1:18 it says, "For the preaching of the cross unto them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." If you come to church and you think that this is probably one of the most foolish things or stupid things that you've ever done in your life, maybe you're not saved. You know, if you sit there and you think, "Well, I don't know why in the world preacher stands up there and he yells and hollers and beats his hand on the pulpit and everything else," listen, if you think that way, guess what? You might not be saved. Because it's the power of the preaching of the Word of God that gives us what we need. You know, the preaching should be our power. When the pastor, the evangelist, the missionary, whoever steps behind this pulpit and preaches the way of the cross, or maybe steps on our toes once in a while, I still got that sign somewhere here. It says, caution, your toes may be stepped on, or wear steel-toed shoes, your toes may get stepped on today. Well, you know, that's the way it is. Listen, if we don't get convicted from the preaching of the Word of God, we should find out why. We should find out why God's not speaking to our heart through the preaching of the Word of God. God chose the foolish things for those who are lost and have no hope of salvation. Psalms 14:1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There's none that doeth good." Wow! You know, God chose to allow those who do not want to know Him to be fools. How'd you like to go out door knocking and you walk up to somebody and say, "If you were to die today, where would you spend eternity?" And they go, "I don't know." "Well, you fool! Amen, Brother Mike, huh? Isn't that the way it's done? You fool! What's the matter with you? Don't you know what God's Word says? You fool!" Right? A lot of times I'd like to do that. I really would. You know, but God chose the foolish things for those who don't know Him. You know, to do the things their own way and not the way of the Lord. To do things in their own eyes, they feel that they're doing everything right. However, they're fools because they don't want to know God. You know, how foolish is it to go out and kill your brain cells on booze? How foolish is it to fry your brain on drugs? How foolish is it to reject the plan of salvation and eternal life? I mean, that's foolish. You know, second thing is this, God chose the weak things for the unsaved. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. Isaiah 53, 3 and 4 says, "Strengthen ye the weak hands, and conform the feeble knees. Say to them that have a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you." You know, if a person has no power, no strength, he's what? Weak. You know, I look at Noah. He's weak. No. Noah's not weak, by the way. You should see him throw eggs. I mean, it's unbelievable. But you know, if a person has no power, no strength, he's weak. A person cannot have strength in the Lord if he doesn't know who the Lord is. A person can't know or have the power of God if he has no idea who he even is. You know, God chose to make man weak and not have the power to get to him on their own. Boy, that's some statement, isn't it? After all, it's by the preaching of the Word of God that someone comes to repentance. You know, I can walk up to Brother Chuck and I say, "Hey, you foolish old fool, you're going straight to hell." And turn around and walk away. Is he any closer to heaven? Is he any closer to heaven? Why? He's a fool! He's going to hell, right? A person has to know how to get somewhere before he can get there. Do you know why you're going to hell? Because you're a sinner. Because there's a penalty for your sin. Because Jesus died for you on the cross. And you need to accept him as your personal Savior. This last Thursday, we had a guy come in and do some community service. His name is Reuben. And he came into my office. My office is the greatest place on planet Earth. It really is. It is. It's the greatest place on planet Earth. He came in and I looked at him and I said, "Hey, sit down." He thought he was in trouble. And I said to him, I said, "Let me ask you something." I said, "If you were to die right now, where would you spend eternity?" 22 years old. He looked at me and goes, "Oh." I said, "You never thought of it, did you?" He goes, "No." I said, have you ever known anybody to die?" "Well, yeah." I said, "Did they ever come back?" "No." I said, "Where are they?" "In the ground." I said, "So," I said, "somewhere they are eternally, aren't they?" He goes, "I never thought of it." "Well, yeah." I said, "So if you were to die right now, where would you spend eternity?" He said, "I don't know." Boy, I like them answers. I do. I took my Bible out and I showed him from God's Word that he was a sinner. There's a penalty for his sin. That Jesus died on the cross. And they need to accept him as Lord and Savior. I said, "Wouldn't you like to know for sure where you're going to spend eternity?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Good. That's the answer I was looking for." We went, we prayed, and he asked the Lord into his heart. I looked at him afterwards, and I said, "Now, if I were to say, where will you spend eternity when you die, what would you tell me?" He says, "I go straight to heaven." I said, "Why?" Because he says, "I just asked Jesus into my heart." Listen, that's what it's all about. He didn't have the slightest idea. He was foolish because he didn't know where he was going to spend eternity. Nobody had ever told him how to get to heaven. He said to me, he says, "That's the first time I've ever heard that." 22 years old. He said, "I used to go to church when I was little." I said, "Well, what church you go to?" He told me. I said, "No wonder you never heard it." You know, there's an awful lot of churches today where they don't hear salvation. You know, Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 says this, "Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?" Listen, when Paul wrote to the Galatian church, look what he told them. He said, "Listen, when you didn't know God, you lived like everybody else. But when you knew God, then you want to go back and live like everybody else anyway." That's basically what he's saying. What's wrong with you people? Are you foolish? That's what Paul's saying. But you know, there's an awful lot of quote-unquote so-called Christians today that do the exact same thing, don't they? They take and they'll take and they'll pray, they'll ask the Lord into their heart, they'll get on fire for him, they'll go to church, they'll start working the food banks. They'll start doing all kinds of things, and then it isn't long, and guess what? They're right back doing what they used to do. Sang a song this morning in Sunday school, the things they used to do, I don't do them anymore. That's the way it's supposed to be. Why? Because there's a great change since we've been born again. You know, Paul is telling the people of Galatia that they would rather turn from the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ and go back to their weak selves. Man feels that he can handle all things his own way in his own time. You know, the third thing is this. God chose the base things for the unsaved and the base things of the world. 2 Corinthians 10:1 says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in present am base among you, but being absent and bound or bold toward you." The word base means low or lowly. God chose the low things for those who are unsaved. You know, granted, there are many unsaved who have a lot of worldly wealth and a lot of worldly things, but they're very unhappy. You know, you look at the movie stars that have committed suicide over the years, and you say, man, they had everything going for them. Look at the wealth they had. Look at the fame they had. Look at what they had in life. Why did they do that? Well, I'll tell you what. Wealth, fame, riches never bring happiness. Never bring happiness. You can have all the money you want in the world, and it will not bring you happiness. God chose the low things for those who are unsaved. You know, Matthew 6:20 says, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust corrupt, or where thieves break through and steal." You know, God has chosen to make the unbeliever very low in life. You know, many times people who are self-righteous will not find the Lord because of their high and mighty mind. You know, however many times a person who is at their lowest state will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I've used this illustration before, but my daughter, when she was going to Hiles Anderson College, they'd go out on Saturdays out soul winning. And she said, "Dad," she says, "every time we went to this one section, I hated to go there." I said, "Why?" Because she says, "We never saw anybody get saved." She said, "These people were in the uppity up, so to speak. They had lots of money, beautiful homes, big cars." She says, "You knock on the door and say, 'Hi, my name is so-and-so, I'm from Hiles Anderson College, and I have a question for you. If you were to die today, where would you spend eternity?'" They'd look right at me and they would say, "You see this house? You see those cars? I got there my way and I'm going to get to heaven my way." They have no need for Christ. She says, "I love going to Skid Row in Chicago." She told of one day they were walking down this alley in inner Chicago. There's a man there standing alongside a dumpster. And she said to him, she said, "If you were to die right now, where would you spend eternity?" And he started crying. He says, "I'd probably go straight to hell." She says, "Is that where you want to go?" He goes, "No." She says, "I showed him the plan of salvation. He got saved." I said, "I want you to come to church with me tomorrow." He says, "Okay." She says, "Well, where do you live?" He says, "The third dumpster down." She goes, "What?" He says, "Just come knock on the third dumpster down and I'll come." Next morning, the bus pulled up the alley. She got out, went down the alley, third dumpster down, knocked on the side of it. The top opens up, and here comes this guy out of the dumpster. Denise looked at him and said, well, you ready to go to church? He goes, yeah, I'm ready. They got in the bus. She said, he stunk so bad, I did not want to sit next to him, but I had put on extra perfume that morning just to make it to church. She says, he got in church, the invitation was given, he went forward and got baptized that Sunday. She says, the only bath he's had in a month. Listen, that's what it's all about. She says, you can go to all the rich and famous you want to, knock on the doors, and none of them want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But you go to the lowly, the down and out, and they're the ones that will listen. You know, God has chosen, the fourth thing is God has chosen the despised things for the unsaved. The things which are despised hath God chosen. What despised things has God allowed for the unsaved? In Esther 1:17 it says, for this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes when it shall be reported. The king, Arius, commanded Vashti, the queen, to be brought in before him, but she came not. Proverbs 15:20 says, the wise son hath a glad father, but the foolish man despiseth his mother. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 15:32 says, he that refuses instruction despises his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. God chose the unsaved to despise his own soul because he will not listen to the preaching of the Word of God. He does not want to know the Lord and will despise his own soul, having no hope of ever having eternal life. Yeah, it's a sad thought, isn't it? The millions of people who are in our land today who know not the Lord Jesus Christ. Then God has also chosen the things that are not. Chosen the things that are not. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, it says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. As we know, the lake of fire is yet to come. That is not hell. The lake of fire is a place where it's going to be forever and ever and ever and ever. A fire that is unquenchable. Hell is just a temporary place. But one day, hell is going to give up its dead. The dead that are in the grave are going to give up their dead. And they're all going to stand before the Lord, and he's going to judge them for the last time. You know, it's the foolish that are going to be standing at the judgment seat of Christ when God says, what did you do? He's going to open up the books. I believe there's going to be a big screen, bigger than anybody ever saw, and their life is going to flash before them. And I believe that there's one instance that's going to flash more than any other rest, and that's when they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I believe that that's going to come up there, and it's going to stay up there for quite a while. And God's going to say, see that? Your name's not written here. Why did you let the opportunity slip by?
What?
I'll tell you what, that's going to be a sad day. That's going to be a very sad day. But God has chosen the things that are not for those who reject Him. You know, God chose a place of punishment for those who do not come to Him for salvation. God has chosen to separate them from the righteous. You know, it's no different with the city of Nineveh in the days of Jonah. God chose to destroy Nineveh. Chose to destroy it. But it was because of the people's repentance that God spared it. Just think what God would have done to Nineveh. After all, look at Jonah. How'd you like to be Jonah? 3 days and three nights in a fish's belly. Seaweed all over his head. I bet he smelled real good. He was, think about that for just a minute. Here's Jonah, a prophet of God, running away from God, going the exact opposite way God wanted him to go, and then God punishing him. If he did that to Noah, what do you think he's going to do to us? Wow. You know, we've got the Word of God. We've got salvation. We have the truth. But you know, God chose all these things for the unsaved. Those who are lost and doomed for the lake of fire. However, He has also chose things for those who know Him and are called according to His purpose. But guess what? Now we're going to get to the good stuff. That's Athens is going to be talking about now. God chose wisdom for the saved. God is unto us wisdom. 1 Corinthians 12:8 says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." James 1:5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." You know, God gives each of us wisdom we need to know to see someone come to Him as a personal Savior. What's wisdom? We talked about this a couple weeks ago. What's wisdom? Wisdom is what? Book knowledge, right? Book knowledge. What's understanding? Now, we just gave Brother Mike a master's degree in theology. He has wisdom of theology. Amen? Does he have understanding? Huh? Yeah! Understanding is knowing how to use the wisdom. You know, we can have all the book knowledge you want. You can read through the Bible 1,800,000 times. And you've got all this wisdom inside you. But you walk up to somebody and say, "Hey, you know what? I've read through the Bible 1,800,000 times. You're doomed for hell." And you turn around and walk away. Did he have any idea what he's talking about? Listen, wisdom is book knowledge. Understanding is how to use that knowledge. You know, a person, what knowledge do we have to have? What wisdom do we have to have? What wisdom do we need to have in life? Yeah, but what of God's Word do we need? All we need to know is the simple plan of salvation. All we need to know is to talk to somebody and say, "You know what? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord might be saved." Oh no, shall be saved. Yeah, amen. I'm glad you guys are listening. Listen, that's all we need to know. I had a man one time who wanted to be my youth leader here at church. This is quite a few years ago. And this is what he said to me. He says, you know, he says, I think we should get away from the King James Bible and get to a different translation because teenagers can't understand the Bible. I looked at him and I said, what? He said, they can't understand it. I said, well, I said, let me ask you something. I said, what can't they understand about for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? He goes, well, they can understand that. I said, what can't they understand about for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life? He goes, well, they can understand that. I said, what can't they understand about for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting. Well, they can understand that. I said, then what can't they understand about for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? He goes, well, they can understand that. I said, what more do they need to understand? You know, we get so wrapped up in wisdom that we forget knowledge. We forget knowledge. We forget what we've already learned and how it needs to be used for the honor and glory of God. You know, I talked to a guy one day and he says, you know, he says, I've got 5 earned doctorates. I said, praise the Lord. I said, how many people have you led the Lord in the last year? He says, you don't understand. I've got 5 earned doctorates. I said, how many people have you led to the Lord in the last year? Wisdom without understanding is nothing. Wisdom without understanding is nothing. You know, not only that, but God chose to give us righteousness. Romans 3:25 says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through his faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God. God chose to give his only begotten Son to pay our penalty for our sins which we committed. This righteousness God chose cost us a lot, didn't it? It cost God a lot. It cost him the only thing that he had, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this is something that we don't deserve to have, and yet God has chosen to give it to us. Not only that, but God also chose to give the saved sanctification. There's a big word. Sanctification. Sanctification. Now, you're going to learn something today, Lexus. Sanctification, that's the word of the day, okay? Sanctification. The word sanctified means to be set apart. In 1 John 2:15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. God has chosen to make Christians different than the world. Even though we have to live in the world, we do not have to be a part of the world system. We don't have to watch the same TV programs they watch. We don't have to get on the same websites as they get on. We don't have to go to the same places. We don't have to go clubbing. We don't have to do the things that they do. We can be separated. God chose that we would be separate from the world, yet we choose to be part of it. Have you ever thought about Adam and Eve? Did Eve have to take of the tree? They had all kinds of other fruit in the garden, didn't they? She didn't have to take of that tree. She chose to take of that tree. Achan, when they were fighting Jericho, did he have to take that gold and the silver and the Babylonian garments. He chose to do it. Listen, we choose to do the things contrary to God's Word. God chose us to live in a clean and sinless life. However, we choose to defile God and please our own self instead of Him. And that's the way the world lives today. God chose to give the saved redemption. Not only sanctification, but redemption. Redemption means the purchase of God's favor by the death and suffering of Christ, the ransom or deliverance of sinners from a bondage of sin and the penalty of God's violated law by the atonement of Christ. Big definition, huh? Ephesians 1:7 says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." How much grace did God give us? As much as we needed. God chose us to have redemption. All we need to do is accept it. Each of us have the same opportunity to be redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? You know, we have the same choice to be pardoned of our sins. God chose us to be redeemed from the world of sin. Why is it people don't want it? If God has chosen redemption for us, we need to take Him at His word and receive His redemption. You know, as I was thinking about this message, I got to thinking about why people don't want to be saved. Why people will go through life hoping for eternal life. Having a hope so salvation. And this is what I came up with. They're afraid that God will change the way they live. And they like living in the world too much. I can remember a couple years ago, I was out soul winning and came on to a guy and we got to talking and I said to him, I said, "You're to die right now. Are you 100% sure you go to heaven?" He says, "No, I'm not." I took him through the plan of salvation and I said to him, I said, "Would you like to accept Christ as your personal Savior?" And he looked right at me and he said, "No!" I said, "Why not?" He said, "Because I'm going to have to change the way I live. I don't want to give up the booze. I don't want to give up the drugs. I don't want to give up the fast life." Wow. Someday he's going to stand before God and have to give an account. You know, as I look around this area and I talk to a lot of people, I find the same thing. People would rather choose their own destiny than trust Christ. They'd rather choose their own destiny than to trust Christ for eternal life. People would rather live in sin than to turn and live a life that's separated from this world. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." It's not God's choice. It's not His choice that anybody goes to hell. Anyone goes to the lake of fire. It's not His choice. After all, He did not make hell for us. He made hell for the fallen angels. But He had to have some place for people. says, okay, I'll put you in with fallen angels. That's what hell's all about. One day, hell's going to be gone. One day, they're going to stand before God. He's going to open the books. And if the name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to cast in the lake of fire. Second death. The old saying goes like this. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. I'm sure glad I've been born twice. Amen? I don't have to be worried about dying twice. I don't have to worry about dying twice. You know, it's not God's choice that anyone would spend a Christless eternity. God's choice is for your life, for you to choose Him. For you to choose Him. And not the other one. You know, I was talking to a guy the other day, and I said to him, I wish I could get you to heaven, but I can't. That's a choice that you have to make on your own. If I could walk up to God right now and say, I'll give you as much money as I have if you allow so-and-so or such-and-such to get into your heaven, I would do it in an instant. But it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. It's up to us to make the choice. God's already made the choice. But now it's up to us to make the choice. Okay. Father, thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for all that you've done for us. I just pray, Lord, that we make the right choice. We know that you've made the choice. And we just pray, Lord, that we might make the right choice. And that choice is to accept you as our personal Savior. Father, we love you. We thank you for what you've done for us. We know that you've made a way that we can have eternal life. We just pray now that we'll choose wisely in the things that we do, in the things that we say, in the places that we go. And Father, help us to make the right choices in life. We love you. We thank you for what you've done for us. Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know, Pastor, I've been making some wrong choices. I haven't been choosing the way I should. Would you pray for me that I can start making some wise choices again? If that's you, I want to just pray for you this morning. Anyone at all? Yes, hands all over. God bless you. Yes. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know, preacher, I'm not even sure that if I were to die right now where I would spend eternity. I've never chosen. If that's you, I want to pray for you today. Is there anyone like that? Quickly, quietly, raise your hand, put it back down. Anyone at all? Father, you know our hearts. You know our desires. Father, I just pray for these now that have raised their hand that some of the choices they're making in life are not the right choices. I pray, Lord, that you might take and help them to make the right choices in life. There's no greater joy than to know that the choices we make are the ones that you would have us to make and that are honoring, pleasing, glorifying to you. I just pray for these now and help them to be able to choose correctly. We know that you've made the choices already where we can spend eternity. We just pray that we choose the right way. Be with us now, I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand, turn to hymnal number 161.